You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello and welcome back to the Equipped Man Podcast, the podcast where we explore what it means to be a man of God in the 21st century. I'm your host, Luke Wance. And today I'm joined with but I've got a friend with me. I'm like, I don't know why these words are not working. So I've got Levi with me. He's a husband, he's a father, he's a brother, son, he's a bit of a movie star. So welcome to my podcast studio / my office, where we're going to talk about what it means to be a man of God. Hi, Luke. Levi.
Hey, Luke. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me. And
you're welcome.
Looks like you're finally getting your words back.
They are. It's weird. I mentioned to you earlier. It's like I've got speech. I used to do speech and all. I used to be in theater, and I'm like. Goes out the window. All of it goes out the window. I'm convinced it's because I don't have anything memorized. I don't have a script in front of me. So I'm like, I don't know. Words are words, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. Especially if that's what you're used to. And
Yeah.
But good. No, man. Thanks for having me out.
You well? You doing good?
Yeah, doing well. We went to a park yesterday and we were throwing around planes, me and my son and daughter. I have a one-year-old, a four-year-old, and then my wife, and we're out there throwing these little styrofoam planes, and they were really flying.
Nice.
And I'm like, man, when I was a kid, these just like, you went outside for about 5 minutes and they broke.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they
were
pathetic, totally. But these ones were great and flying like, I mean, it must have went 50 feet up in the air at one point.
Oh, that's awesome.
Doing that stuff. But no, here with you and excited to talk about this topic. I think it's super important.
Good. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to open the floodgates. And initially I'm going to hit you. And my plan is whenever I have guests on is what I'm going to start with. What does it mean to be a man of God?
I mean, wow.
Going to come out swinging. Just boom, like, right there.
You're like, what's life about?
Can right.
You just tell me life and what it is about. Because I think especially just, and I think it goes for every person, but as men, It's kind of like the crisis of our lives is how do I be a man? But then as a Christian, you know, how do I be this man of God? And what does that actually mean? And sometimes I think we either oversimplify it or we overcomplicate it and we get way too far to the one side and like, oh, we have to be this way or this way or this way. Or like, we're like, oh, it just kind of, you know, existing and taking care of things and just relax and make sure everything's okay. And if everything's okay, that's it. Like we kind of have these extremes, but I think it's somewhere more, you know, in the middle. And of course with God in the mix leading and guiding your life that, helps gather up what that means. But I mean, you could come at that question from so many different angles too, of as a father or as a husband or as a churchgoer, you know, a follower of God, a disciple, right? Like of your work or your strength, mentality, your finances. Like there's such a plethora of ways to approach the question that I think we just kind of get lost in the mix of it, and we either don't ask ourselves enough or we're asking ourselves too much, and it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. One of my favorite terms is analysis paralysis. It's where, you know, again, you start to overthinking a topic or a situation, and all of a sudden it's like you think so much that you're almost unable to act. Wow. And so it's like, you know, again, I know for me, I was raised in the Catholic Church, but not exactly in the Christian faith. I know Catholics are Christian. I don't want people to come hate me. But I did not grow up in a household or in a church where reading the Bible was encouraged.
Yeah.
And so it's like when I started coming to church and I got saved and met Jesus, and it's like everybody's like, "Well, read the Bible. Read the Bible." And I'm like, "Okay. Do I just start at page one and go? Do I start with the New Testament? You know, do I just randomly grab a Bible and whatever it falls open to, that's where I start?" It's, you know, and for some people it is. It's that I don't know how to start, you know, and you know, because like I was telling you, one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I need that, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there, and I'm including myself in this, mm-hmm. of, you know, it's like, yes, I've already admitted, you know, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know He is the way, the truth, the life. Now what?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I fully believe in God. I'm 100% sold. I'm you know, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, I fully believe 100% everything in the Bible. Now what?
Yeah.
You know, good. And I think that's the big question, especially for men. You know, because it is, it's, you become a father, you become a husband, you know, and I know you, your dad was a pastor.
Yeah.
I know he's not anymore.
Right.
You know, but you grew up in this. And so it's like, how was that? Because you've kind of been a child of God. I mean, we're all children of God. Yes. But you've been, you know, child, then, you know, boyfriend, then fiance, then husband, mm-hmm. then father. You know, it's like you've hit all of these, I almost want to say, developmental milestones,
right,
while still being a Christian.
Yeah.
So it's like, what did that look like?
Yeah. No, that's a really great question. Don't let me forget, I have a question for you when we look back, but I have definitely, and it's so funny you asked that, because I'm driving today and I was just thinking about how I'm like, God, I don't know when it happened, but at some point you became such a bedrock of my life. Mm. I can't even fathom myself without it. I don't make decisions, big decisions. I mean, you know, what am I going to eat for cereal, right? But it doesn't matter, right? But I don't make decisions. I don't move things in my life without talking to you about it, without meeting with you about it, like, and without that being, it just is like this core element of who I am as a person. And somewhere along the way, it became not just like this great idea or something I desired or wanted, it became who I was. And I think, like you said, I went through so many of those major stages of life with God as the singular foundation, where everything else kind of comes and goes, everything else kind of shifts and changes, but He doesn't. And so, yeah, I have walked through all of that with Him, and to where now I mean, every year of my life, I have a deeper, better relationship with God, a stronger, a better understanding of Him. And it's more fulfilling every year. And I wouldn't even say I was dissatisfied with it last year. It became more and more this year.
Yeah.
And I guess my question, I want to kind of loop back around to you, because I'm on the other side. I'm like, wow, you went from not having, like, you know, and you were living in the world and doing these other things, to now suddenly you were here for God, and you're trying to connect, and you're connecting with Him. You're feeling His presence. Like, what was it like trying to define yourself as a man without God, to where, what's like one of the biggest changes you've felt or seen in yourself on that?
You know, you're right. Because I was, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've talked about this in previous episodes, but I was, you know, I went from being a Catholic. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a priest, actually.
Wow.
and then in college, I turned to witchcraft, you know, doing the spells, burning the candles, the incense, all that. And then I ended up at church and I was like, this is it. This is me now. This is what I want. And, it was like one of the, I remember it was the first weekend I came to church. It was, the weekend before Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving weekend, I went, I traveled up to Nebraska to be with my parents for the holiday weekend. 'Cause you know, you want to be a good kid and be with your parents and family. And I remember thinking that weekend, I miss church.
Mm.
I was mid-30s at the time. I had never missed church. Like, I mean, missed as in, yes, I've not gone to church. But,
right.
Like, that feeling of, I want to be in church. I've never had that. And the fact that I had that kind of urging... only not even a week in, and all of a sudden, so I was like, so that was, I mean, my wheels had been spinning because I had neighbors, that went to the church, and they were the ones that kind of, they didn't talk me into it. They didn't, you know, 'cause I love to say that they got to know me, you know, they became my friends, and you know, they never, hey, come to church. Hey, here's what the Bible says, you know, according to Jesus, you shouldn't be doing that. Because I would talk and my neighbor would never bring up Jesus, the church, the Bible, nothing until I did it first.
Oh, wow.
And even then it was usually like, man, I can't stand when some churches do this or pastors do that. And he's like, ours doesn't do that. Okay. Yeah, whatever. You know, total cynic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know better. You know, and I love to say that, you know, non-Christians are so good at smelling out the hypocrisy in so many Christians.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, so it's like, I've seen the hypocrisy. I'd seen the lies. I'd seen, you know, all the dirty laundry that some churches try to hide. And it's like, I don't need that. I'm a quote unquote good person. I've never murdered anybody. I don't rob. I don't steal.
Right.
So, you know, for the most part, I follow the Ten Commandments. Why do I got to go to a church? But it was with them, this couple, it started off real basic. It was like, I mean, they're kind of cool. They seem like decent people.
Right.
If that's what happens by going to this church, I'll give it a shot.
yeah, that's good.
You know? And so that's where it started. But to kind of go back to your question of what is it like to hit these major milestones without God as your foundation, you know, without him as your bedrock, as your true north. It's like, I would love to laugh and say it involves a lot of alcohol and sleepless nights. But it's true. Mm. You know, probably, you know, it was probably a good few months, at least, before I came to church, but I tried to drink myself to death. Cause you don't know better, you know? And that's the thing, because it is, you get to the point, you know, I know I kind of laugh with you, you know, it's like, I've chosen Jesus, you know, I'm completely sold on Jesus. Now what, you know, what's the next step?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I wasn't living for Jesus, it was, okay, I'm in college, now what? Okay, I hit, you know, I'm 25, now what? You know, for the longest time, I had certain milestones in my life I didn't think I was going to live to, just because of how I lived and what I believed and everything. I mean, I threw myself a small little party when I turned 25 because I didn't think I was going to see 25.
Wow.
I'm sure there's at least two or three times in my life that I've had alcohol poisoning, but I never went to the hospital for it. You know, I had been married, divorced. She,
I didn't think she was serious, but looking back, she pretty much warned me that she was not going to be faithful. And then I was surprised and hurt when she was not faithful.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, wait, what? You know, it was, you know, you don't have that. I know we've had conversations where it's like you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you get that still small voice in you of discernment of, you know, hey, this is a bad idea, you know, and it's like you don't have that mm-hmm. when you're out in the world and you're just floating from experience to experience. You know, it's you're like a pinball, you know, and whenever life hits you, you just turn to whatever doesn't make you hurt as bad.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I did Makes not sense. Expect this to get as deep and heavy as it did, but
I'm like, yeah, we're going, Luke.
I spiraled down in life. I did. Yeah. I mean, I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time in inpatient therapy and outpatient therapy.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it was. I mean, you know, it was because before I started coming to church, I was smoking at least a pack a day. I was drinking.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Almost every night,
mm-hmm.
I didn't care.
Yeah,
I didn't care because
I
literally had nothing to live for. Even though I had like some form of aspirations of what I wanted to do with my life, I had nothing to live for.
Mm.
You know, I was just going through the motions. So,
yeah, and I think that, you know, we'd probably look at that or whatever, and maybe some of the outcomes or whatever, some of the things you did was extreme in a way, but I don't think it is extreme. And I think a lot of people live there and they do different things with it. Maybe they just get an addiction to a sports team, or they find something to kind of just ease that pain or loss, right? Like, and so for me and you now, you know, we found this God who is way more than just some of these other Christians that we've met or whatever. Like, he's immense and he's powerful and he's active and he's life itself, right? Like, getting to know him and being around him is just, it makes you satisfied with living. And then suddenly you turn around and you enjoy these other things from life way more than you used to.
Yeah.
And it gives so much purpose and meaning to everything else. And yeah, I think sometimes it's easy to forget kind of where did I come from and where am I at now, but also just kind of forget that the men we've become because of our relationship with God is actually pretty awesome.
Yes.
You know, when really stop and think about where I am, and, you know, there are so many things that might speak to you as a guy that makes you feel like a failure.
Oh,
I can look at, you know, I come home and maybe like one of my kids isn't quite behaving the way, and I look and I'm like, you know what? I've really kind of been too loose on that lately and or whatever, or like my wife is saying something and I feel a sense of fear or something from her because I've not really done that very well before this area or what. And like, if we have all these things that are constantly, I wouldn't say constantly, but we probably make it more than it actually is, but telling us we're failing as men. But if you really stop and think and wait for a minute and like process, when you got that relationship with God, mm-hmm. now suddenly I'm like, oh wait, okay. But who would I be without that?
Right.
It's such a big gap. Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah. I like to, one of my favorite things to say for that, you know, because you're talking about, you know, like finding God and some people have these addictions. We are all born with a God-shaped hole mm-hmm. inside of all of us. And only God can fill that. But until we have God fill that, we're going to search for anything and everything to stuff in that hole to try to make us feel complete. And there's part of me that's like, I know that's how God designed us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for God proving me wrong, but I am borderline convinced that that's how God designed us, because he wanted us. He wants our loyalty, you know, and, mm-hmm. and he wants us to seek him and to, you know, search him out. And, you know, again, the whole, I will be your God, you will be my people.
Yep.
You know, and part of that is loyalty, is that, you know, we want to hunger and thirst for him.
Yeah.
And so I do. I think it's in all of us. And yeah.
I remember I was 16 years old and I was on the stage singing at my church back then. So back in Southern Missouri, my dad was a pastor at the time there. And still a God-fearing guy and everything. Yeah. Like that, just because he's not a pastor now, like no, he's absolutely pursuing Jesus. I love my dad, and so he. But anyways, we're in this service, and I just felt God starting to kind of speak and talk on me, and so I spoke to the church, and I was like, hey, I kind of cut the song. Like, I don't know if I was even probably just the pastor's kid. They let me do it, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, do you realize that, and again, I'm 16, right? 16, 17, somewhere in there. And I said, do you realize you can feel, you have the sense of feeling so you can feel God? Yeah. That you can see so you can see God. That you can taste so you can taste God. Like, you were very specifically designed to know God.
Mm, yeah.
He didn't just make us to, oh, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, here it is. Like, I'm going to make you as I am in my image so me and you can become one. Jesus, in John 17, I only can reference it because I just read it, but I'm not that much of a Bible genius. I just read it. But in John 17, he's praying. It's the prayer of Jesus. And he's praying. He's like, God, let them be one as you and I are one. Mm. And let them, like, know us as you and, like, if Jesus is literally saying, they can know you as deeply as I know you.
Yeah.
Like, that is
yeah.
It's insane. And so when you're talking about this God hole, yes, you were absolutely made on purpose to connect with God.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, and I love that. And it's also borderline scary that for so long I lived without it. And it is. You know, I'm not going to say daily reminder, but so often I get reminded, you know, I've got the scars, I've got the memories of how I almost didn't make it this far.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and I mean, even I had, you know, what was it, like 9-10 years ago or so, I had a motorcycle accident. I was not wearing a helmet on the highway. And I went off of my motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I could tell God saved me. I could literally feel something while my bare head was scraping across the asphalt. I could feel something between my head and the asphalt.
And okay, so let's delve into this a little bit, because I actually really, really like this, because so many people kind of get fishy with it. But
yeah.
Where at that time, was there any sort of, like, you're pursuing God at all?
I was in church at the time. I was already in church. I was fully committed. I was married. I was to my current wife.
Yeah.
You know. So yes, I was all in. I was fully committed. So yes, I was 100% believer. And so it was. I stood up and I'm like, it was like, praise God, I'm alive. I'm able to stand up.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I guess what I'm trying to say, though, is there are, in the book of Jonah, God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh.
Yes.
Jonah's this prophet to Israel. Israel needed help too, but God's thinking about these 145,000 other people in this other city that has way far off,
yeah.
And he's concerned about them.
Yeah.
Like, I see so many people where I could easily just, quote unquote, convict or judge them and say, man, that's a bad guy.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
dude, he is just messed up, blah, blah, blah. But something always reserves in me and says, well, hold on now.
Yeah.
Hold on now. If they had what you had, they wouldn't be that person.
That's true.
And so how can I would be them. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, I would be you if I didn't have this, again, bedrock of relationship with God that defines who I am, I would be just like them. So for me, I lose any sense of like judgment I have to other people. I can't even like speak bad about people in politics.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it takes one moment
mm-hmm.
for any person
yeah.
could be turned around. And how could I have a hardness in my heart for someone that God just rescued?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's kind true. Of a yeah. side thing, but
no, yeah. And I'll say, kind of the opposite can happen. You know, somebody that has been their whole life having Jesus as, you know, God as their bedrock and being fully committed, there could be that one moment that all of a sudden it's enough from the enemy to trip them up.
Oh yeah.
And they're gone. They've lost the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I remember years ago, I used to do the Highland Games, the, you know, the Scottish like strongman type stuff.
Of course you did.
And I did. Yeah. And some of my fellow competitors in the local area, they were talking about going to some games out in Vegas, and I was like, man, that would definitely be interesting. I don't want to go because I know the spirit and the atmosphere that happens in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I've never been personally, but
yeah,
I know enough of it, and I've seen enough of. I know I want to steer clear, but I was like, you know, I don't have the finances. I didn't lie. You know, I literally didn't have the finances to travel halfway across the country to go to play games down in Vegas. But I remember I had a friend that, like you, had been a Christian his whole life, pastor's kid, everything. Mm. Loved the guy. Was one best man at my wedding. He's like, man, that would be so awesome. I'd go there, hit 13 black, bam, I'd be gone. I'm like, no, don't. I'm like, Vegas would destroy you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know that you are a good person, and I know that you fear God and love God.
Mm.
The junk that is in Vegas would destroy you.
Right.
And you would not be able to leave that place the same person that you are now.
Yeah.
You know, so as much as that one moment, like a non-believer can have that, you know, that people say that Damascus moment, like Paul had when he turned from Saul to Paul. You know, that as much as people can have that moment to turn to God.
Absolutely.
I firmly believe that there's those yeah. moments that if believers aren't careful, they can have the almost like the reverse Damascus. Yeah.
No, I completely agree. And I think in a way it's humbling.
Hmm.
And I know there's just been certain things in my life that I'm like, God, you know, this thing, this area or whatever, like, can you help me with this? You know, blah, blah. And he's like, hey. You know what you do? You know, and I'm thinking like, oh, I just got to, you just stand strong and yes. just kind of build it up. I'm like, oh, yeah. I can face this thing. And he's like, if you're anywhere near it, you run.
Yeah.
like that's the, but that, I'm a man. In that moment,
I'm a warrior.
Right. Right. And you think, and they're like, wait a minute here. But the most manly thing I can do.
Yeah.
Because I'm defending the most important things in my life, my you know, obviously my family
yeah.
and my relationship with God and those types of things. Like, that, I am defending those things to the utmost when I turn tail and I run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're like, it says, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. it, just run.
Yeah.
You don't have to just go stand in front of the thing and see if you catch on fire. Like, it's okay. Like, you don't need to do that to overcome yeah. this thing.
Right.
Sometimes there's those areas in our lives that they're like big buttons, right? Like, they're yeah. that's a big weakness of mine, and I know this weakness of mine. I don't get anywhere near it.
Yeah.
You just, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
oh, I've oh, yeah. overcome this thing now because I got close to such and such, and I didn't, and no.
Right, yeah.
No, you run. You know what I'm yes. saying? And I think, too, like, oh, man. Gosh, for so much of even my own Christian life, and just because I think it's the way Christians talk a lot, it was all about what not to do.
Mm, yes.
And yes. we have such a failure about that, mm-hmm. because anytime I've messed up or done something, the moment I go and talk to Jesus, he's not talking to me about it.
Right.
He doesn't actually care.
Right.
It's not about the rules for him. It's about relationship.
Right.
And he's trying to build relationship with me, and he's trying to connect. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just please don't.
Yeah.
And here, let's talk about this. I want to talk to you about that. Like,
yeah.
And so much of the time, it's all about what not to do whenever it's actually about just running after him,
yeah.
building that relationship, becoming more concrete in who you are as a man. And I think, so kind of looping this thing back in a little bit, we've kind of gone down in different routes and stuff like that. What I know one of the things you were talking about before we got on here was, okay, I'm a Christian now. You know, I have Jesus in my heart.
Yeah.
Now what?
Now what? Yeah. And what you said just before asking that, that's kind of it, is, you know, because I am, you know, for so long it was, you know, when you become a Christian, here are the things that not to do. Mm. Okay, well, I know enough that if you say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, I'm going to find something else to fill those gaps.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to, well, I don't know what to fill with it, so I'm just going to go back to it eventually. You know, if you were trying to start eating healthy and I said, you're no longer allowed to eat donuts, and I just kind of left it at that, you're never allowed to eat donuts, you'd be like, fine. I'll stop eating donuts. And then like after a week or two, you're going to be like, but I really like donuts and I don't know what to replace that with.
And suddenly they're at work.
Right.
And suddenly I see the donut store when I didn't notice it before on my way to work.
Right.
And suddenly it's like now it almost became worse.
Yes. You know, and I know that there's that that scripture. Again, I don't have the Bible memorized, but I know there's the scripture of when you're cleaning out a house and you kick out the strong man, beware that seven stronger don't come in to replace it.
Right.
You know, so it's like, okay, I'm now a Christian. I've fully accepted Jesus into my heart. Don't give me a list of what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
But on the same hand or on the other hand, whichever hand you want to talk about, don't.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Give me a list of rules of, now that I'm a Christian, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. You know, so I love how you said,
that's good.
You know, it's about the relationship. You know, because that's something I'm learning.
Absolutely.
You know, in all areas of life, it's about the relationship. You know, because I know there's a good list of do this, don't do that in the Ten Commandments.
Right.
You know, but aside from that, you know, I've seen different churches and I've heard of different churches. It's like, well, to be a Christian, you have to do this, and it's like, but that's not in the Bible.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, I've heard of the churches. They're like, well, you know, the women always have to wear dresses and have long hair, and nobody's allowed to wear makeup, and you're not allowed to drink. And I'm like, but Jesus drank wine.
Right.
You know, a lot of people drank wine. It's not a problem. You know,
right.
But again, it's, but where is your relationship?
Yeah.
You know, is that an idol? And I think to some people, religion has become their idol.
It's really good.
You know, people almost focus on their relationship with their religion versus their relationship with Jesus.
And it's almost a status slash identity thing too, that, oh, look at how I'm doing this how I'm behaving. And I'm different or better than you because I'm wearing this, you know, or I don't do those things. I do these things. And so that, and it's like suddenly there's none of Jesus anywhere in that.
No, there's not.
And like you said, yeah, they're making religion their idol. Absolutely. And it's Christianity without knowing Jesus.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
And that was, sorry to interrupt, but that was for me, that was actually what kept me away from being a Christian for so long.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw what was going on. It's like, well, I was raised, I heard all the stories. I heard all the stories growing up. Well, you know, yes, we didn't read the Bible, but we heard the stories. We heard a bunch of the parables. You know, okay, fine. So it's like, I knew the stories. I knew roughly the teachings of Jesus, you know, and it was like, I know enough about the teachings that what you're doing is wrong. But because I'm not a Bible scholar, I can't tell you why you're wrong, you know, but it was enough that I was like, that's not, I don't think that's what Jesus intended. Well, do you want to join our church? No, because that's not. I don't think that's what Jesus intended.
Right.
You know, so, and that was one thing that was refreshing, you know, when I came to our church, and it was like, well, this is what the Bible says. You know, you had pastors that were literally opening the Bible and saying,
yeah,
this is what the Bible says. And here's what the people at the time were doing. And here's the culture of the time, not just, you know, well, I'm going to read part of this verse and I'm going to apply it to now, and therefore, you know, because then it becomes like the Nostradamus, you know, a blind eagle will fly across the silver sky at the high noon. And it's like, whatever. Well, that means in 2023, Jesus is coming back. I'm like, I don't think that's what that means, but I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. So.
No, it's so true. And I love, okay, so I've been kind of juggling this term around recently where it's naturally supernatural.
Yes.
I have this encounter with God that just revolutionizes this part of my life, right? Like my words or whatever, like, or some sort of character thing, or it just builds me up in some way. And like God supernaturally just changes and this power. And then he's kind of like, hey, go do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like not necessarily do whatever I want as in like bad or what. It's just like, okay, I talk with God every single day.
Yes.
Every day I have some sort of conversation with him, and some days more meaningful or deeper or longer than others, but every day there's that connection.
Yeah.
And he, like, I think for some people that sounds alien.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sounds like, oh, that either just that happens sometimes at church. When God, and every time he talks to me, he's not talking to me on this like high, crazy, out of this world type level. He's actually very natural.
Yeah.
And Paul is writing one of the books. I think it's 1 Corinthians. It might be Romans, but I think it's 1 Corinthians. And he's like, thank God I didn't baptize any of you except for Gaius and his family and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, oh, wait, I also baptized blah, 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 blah. And that part, like, that is God-breathed scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul naturally, wait a minute now. There was somebody else, too. I forgot.
Yeah.
Like, just being totally naturally human. And God let that be scripture. Like, it's he comes down and he supernaturally impacts people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wants you to go in, like, your flavor, who you are, how you act. Yeah. Go and now be. Like, he's not demanding or controlling or rule-driven.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, he's like, go and have your interests, Levi. Like,
go.
I really like soccer these days, you know, and I have some board games that I really enjoy, and you know, and like these other things. And he's kind of like, yes, go and do those things. But when I come calling and I say, hey, come meet with me, I can step away from any of those things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that relationship is number one. And so I think, man, people, you can make your religion your God in a way rather than God your God.
Yeah.
And forget. It's just kind of natural in so many ways.
And I think sometimes, you know, and to kind of break it down for people that maybe aren't there yet, I'm not there every day. I'll admit I'm not there every day. I want to be.
Sure.
But it's similar to kind of, you know, when you talk with your spouse every day, you know, you talk with your wife every day, you know, you know how she thinks, you know how she's, you know, you have a pretty good idea how she's going to respond, you know, and when we have that relationship and that back and forth and that, you know, those conversations every day, you know, yes, sometimes it's the, you know, man, I wonder how, you know, if this happens, if this big health scare happens, you know, how are we going to handle it, you know, financially, mentally, emotionally, you know, or, you know, hey, our kids are now getting older and they're talking about college, you know, it's like, what's going to happen? And then the next day you're going to be like, you know, if you were a frog, what kind of frog would you be? You know, and you have those moments.
Yes.
You know, and it's the randomness. It's some days you have those upper level, you know, deep question, you know, deep conversations, and the other days it's like,
And it's amazing. You see your wife thrive in that. Like you can tell when you've made that connection. Mm-hmm. In one way or the other, one of those conversation routes or the other, right? And you've made that just a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I think we make it this really, it's a lot of effort.
Oh, yes.
It may be a little more than you want to give, but it's less than you think.
Yes.
I love that quote. That's probably applies to so many things. But when you make that connection, you can tell when that happens.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that your spouse responds so positively to that connection. And that focus and conversation, like you said, whether it's about this deep, crazy thing or whatever, or this what kind of problem. I love that. That's
completely
funny.
Threw you with that one. You're welcome. you can use that one.
And
on your way home, you can.
She's like, "What did you guys talk about?" Well, you would not believe. First of all, babe, what kind of if you were a frog.
Your son might be a little more interested in that conversation than your wife.
Probably would.
Just saying.
But no, man, I really love it. And one of the things, it's just something I actually kind of wanted to say when I was thinking about coming on here and talking about this, was there is, you know, Jesus, again, he's praying in that John 17 verse, right, a chapter, which is actually a really cool chapter because the whole thing is actually his prayer.
Oh, nice.
He has a prayer to God. And in one part, he actually prays too about like, hey, if I like, and he's like, those you've given to me, my disciples, blah, blah, and anyone who believes in me. And I'm like, oh, wow, Jesus is praying for me right here. Like, he's praying. He prayed for me.
Yes.
You know, like anybody who believes in him, like he prayed for all of us. And but one of the things I love, he prays this prayer. Then it says at the end of it, then the very next chapter, he walks across the Kidron Valley, is what they say, to the Mount of Olives, I believe it is. And that's where he prays. And that's where Judas comes. And like, then he gets arrested and goes to the cross. Like, before he goes to the cross, he knows it's happening.
Yeah.
He knows this is coming. The most, he goes to pray.
Yeah.
Not a word about it.
Yeah.
Not a word about what he was about to go through, what he was about to do, asking God for help in that moment. Not a word.
Yeah.
All of his prayer was about basically like, God, I want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are connected, fully connected, and I want my disciples to know you. The ones you have given me, may they know you, and anybody who believes in me, that they're connected to you as I am connected to you. Like, he had this mission. And I'm starting to, I'll give you a direct example.
Yeah.
I want my family to know God.
Yes.
I want to know God. And as we've talked about, I've known God my whole life now, and it's been amazing to have that. But I want my family now to know God. And this is like the battle. I tell Shanae, I'm like, this is the crisis of my life.
Mm.
We had a time where we could not pay our bills.
Yeah.
It was a really bad financial time for us. And I could not afford my bills. Hardly stressed me at all.
Yeah.
Hardly affected me.
Wow.
And I remember grabbing Shanae and pulling her in And I said, babe, I know that this situation is, and it's important to you. And obviously, you know, this is a thing we got to address, but I need you to know the crisis of my life, the battle of my life is that I would know God and my family would know God. And I'm like, this thing, we're going to get through this thing. And you begin to be, my circumstances are not defining me anymore.
Right.
Jesus about to go to the cross could have been the crisis of his life.
Yeah.
It's not affecting him. It's not defining him anymore.
Yeah.
He has something else that's way bigger and way more important. And as I've kind of grown into that mindset and of connection with God and desiring my family and anybody God has given me to be connected to God and grow in that relationship, that this is my battle, it suddenly starts defining everything else.
Nice.
And that where I can turn around and be the husband and be the father, because you're never going to have enough time or strength for all of it as it all calls for.
Yeah.
You just won't.
No.
And I think, honestly, that's kind of the painful part. Like, Jesus had to walk by people he ended up never praying for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it just, it's kind of painful in a way, but you learn to, okay, but this.
Yeah.
If this, this is the battle, this is the thing that defines me, not my bank account, not, you know, anything that might come at us down the road or any other circumstance that I can fathom.
Yeah.
Does not define us in our family. This does. I don't care, you know, and to me it's a little thing now. Anything that happens to the news or whatever, I'm like, okay, that's, to me, that's not a battle, but some people, that's a big battle.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It doesn't define you. It doesn't rock you anymore. This is what rocks you and defines you. And that's what I make my decisions off of, is based on that. Is this where we're going? Are we heading here? That's where I gauge myself of being successful or not successful, is that is my family getting to know God? Am I knowing God?
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. That's really good. So before we wrap up, and I know you've kind of touched on it, but what would be some practical advice that you would give somebody that is in that now what moment? You know?
Yep.
So
absolutely.
some of that, you know, I'm not a beginner. I'm kind of intermediate or getting to be intermediate. You know what? What practical steps would you give or step would you give to somebody?
Yeah, I think we always hear it. People who lose their father, they go, man, I wish I had made that better connection. I wish I had him now to have this conversation, or I wish blah, 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 blah. Like, they always tend to do it after it's too late, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, just open up a little space of time for the conversation with God, your father.
Yeah.
And if you're like, man, I'm not hearing anything, I don't know how to hear anything. Listen, he wrote you a book.
Yeah.
And it's okay to start there.
Yeah.
And it's okay to not understand it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
It's okay to go like, I don't, all right.
Yeah.
But somewhere, I guarantee you, if you do that, you start making that space, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I'm not telling you to do anything hard.
Yeah.
Just do something. And when you start making that space, somewhere along the line, you will hear something.
Yeah.
You will hear, you will sense like, hey, I should probably change this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's something small almost every time. God's not like, hey, by the way, you're going to Africa. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, it's going to be like, hey, next time your wife says this to you, don't react like that.
Yeah.
Hey, I think, look, you should probably step up and do the dishes tonight.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be, and you're going to be like, was that weird? That can't be. I know that wasn't my thought.
It's going to be the little things.
It had to be from God.
Start with the little things.
And so I'm telling you, that's where it begins. That's where it starts. Anytime I have gone a week or a couple days and I'm like, man, where am I at here? Where's my head at?
Yeah.
That's what I get back to right there. That's the thing that's going to mark you and start leading you. You know, if your dad is missing, right, and he's not here, you would love to have that 10-minute conversation with him.
Yeah.
go and have that 10-minute conversation with God. Just open it up and be natural about it.
Yeah.
If something sucks, tell him it sucks. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, be some of the Psalms is David basically telling God, hey, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It's okay to have this conversation like that with God.
It's okay to be
open,
real in front
be
of God.
Be natural. Yep. Yeah. And allow him to come into your regular day, your average day. Give him that space in your life. That's where I would start.
Yeah. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Levi. I appreciate this. This has been an awesome talk. I will definitely be bringing you back for more of this.
I would love that. Thanks, Luke.
So, all right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Stay fit. Be well.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.